Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Houston Texans 7-5 after yesterday's 22-17 victory over the Denver Broncos. Ime Udoka is now a beloved Houston sports figure after getting into it with LeBron James on Saturday night. But on Saturday morning, a program that is very, very important to one of the two parts of the Paul Gallant show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say America, but yeah.
Whoa. You could say that if you want. They got business done. And then yesterday, they found themselves in a place.
I just want, you know, a music bed playing.
That's fine. Totally fine, Sean, because I'm going to let you say it. Texas, Big 12 champions, murdered Oklahoma State Saturday morning. Yesterday, officially part of the college football playoff. You could say it if you want. I wouldn't say it. The three words. Are you going to say it?
Texas is back, folks.
Texas is back. Texas is back. Now, there's controversy over this. But before we get to the controversy.
Not on Texas. But keep going. I'll explain. But keep going.
Before we get to the controversy, I just want to revel in how awesome Texas fans were at the end of this. And I know some people are going to frown on this. After all, Texas not that long ago, back in 2020, was sarcastically cheering SEC after beating Georgia in the, what, Sugar Bowl? But to bring it to 2023, seeing your mark, the commissioner of the Big 12, awkwardly go up to the podium and try to announce Texas as the champions of the Big 12. I gotta say, Texas fans, take a hat off, pat yourself on the back. It was amazing theater. Here's Brett Yormark trying to say words.
AT&T Stadium and our great fans that set an all-time attendance record for this game. I need to thank
incredible. SEC chants that you could hear towards the back. You couldn't really hear that on the television broadcast. We were watching this at a pizza joint in Fredericksburg, and the game was on mute. So we had no idea what was being said. What we could see was Steve Sarkisian basically putting his arm around Brett Yormark's shoulder.
Doing the quarterback.
Trying to get the fans to quiet down.
Quiet down motion.
No, he shouldn't have done that. He should have let it happen.
I honestly started almost feeling bad for Brett Yormark.
Don't feel bad.
It was just so funny.
He's handsomely paid. These guys.
It was such a funny, awkward moment where he tried to speak and just couldn't. He dropped like a, oh, come on, guys.
So that was a video from the field. This is the video on ESPN, which did a pretty good job of making the crowd noise quiet. Here is Brett Yormark a couple of times just trying to say things. The funny thing is, there's no good way to handle this. There really isn't. Whenever Roger Goodell does it, for example, at the NFL draft, come on, guys.
I love it. Yeah. But the perfect way is the David Stern way. Stern, hand to the ear, cup it. Like, you, come on, give me some more.
You got to be a real prick, like Stern.
Yes, you have to be
to pull it off.
A-hole.
I don't think Goodell is one. I don't think Brett Yormark is one. I think Brett Yormark was trying to figure out what to do there and not ruin the moment for Texas fans. And to his credit, he did not.
I mean, yeah. Yes, he did. You know what? Good job by him for standing there in front of a microphone.
He stood his ground.
You did ask, like, what he could have done differently. Well, you could have done what the Pac-12 commissioner did, handing the trophy between – or, well, he was going to hand it to a team that was leaving no matter what. Did you see what the
– Friday night, I did not see that, no.
That's because he was barely on the broadcast. He literally – he did not speak. He literally just was kind of on the very edge of the stage – walked over, handed the coach the trophy, and walked off the stage, like, all in one motion. He just, like, was like, I am not here. It makes sense because his job will not exist in, like, 6 months. But
right.
Still, that is the good – that is what you do. It's like, you make yourself as scarce as possible.
Yormark.
Not that.
But.
He likes a spotlight. Come on.
They put himself in the spotlight.
WWE wrestlers on the stage.
That's true. Yes. Don't call Steve Austin. But he put himself – in the limelight earlier this year. You are right. I mean, he created this entire bleep storm for himself by basically rooting for Texas Tech or somebody that was going to stay in the Big 12 to win.
Tech.
Right. It was weird. I get it. In the moment, you're probably not thinking that this is going to happen. You're not thinking, oh, Texas is going to finally win in the last year that they're in.
I think he only gets like SEC chance. If he doesn't say that, but like, I don't think he becomes like just booed like he could, like, was a terrorist. Like, he got booed so bad. I don't think that happens if he doesn't say that. That one clip where he's like, yeah, I'll be rooting for you.
Right. The worst was at the very end where you could tell he was a little frazzled or rattled, and he's trying to say the name of the man who is actually being kind to him up there as he's getting absolutely roasted, Steve Sarkisian. He struggled to say Steve Sarkisian.
It's an honor to give Coach Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns the Dr. Pepper Big 12 Championship Trophy. Well done.
Sarkisian.
He's rattled.
Definitely.
He's Sam Darnold seeing ghosts up there. He's
Garcesian. He thought he was going to say Garcia at first, clearly, and then he still says Garcesian. What was he thinking about?
I think he frazzled, started saying a name that he's definitely heard before, Garcia, and then like halfway through was like, you know what? I'm not going to I just need to plow through this and get off the stage. I think that's what happened. He was just like, you know what? I've already been up here for 2.5 minutes because they won't stop booing. That was the other thing. It was way too long of like what he was trying to say. He was trying to give like an actual commissioner speech that like,
why did he think he needed to though?
I don't know. I don't know.
No one wants to hear it.
Like, Roger Goodell doesn't give that long of a speech, like, when he's handing out the trophy.
He just passes it over. He gets booed.
He just says, congratulations to team owner for being such a great team owner.
And then
all these players won a championship, and he hands it over.
Right. Exactly. And, I mean, you've seen this happen with the Patriots after Deflategate and things like that.
They weren't as passionate, though.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah. Fake fans.
I mean, we see what they're doing now
when they're bad. They're just not even watching.
Well, what's the point? We've achieved nirvana. There's like, what even matters anymore? Anyway, he's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we talked about the non-controversial element of the college football playoff. Texas should have been in, especially with Alabama beating Georgia. Not going to lie, I was a little nervous that they still would screw that up. However, Alabama's in, which has led to a lot of complaining from undefeated Florida State fans. Did they have a real gripe? We'll talk about that. Also, if you want to talk about the Texans' 22-17 victory, you can. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
Women bathing their dogs, you know, in cut-off jeans and T-shirts and with the soap. And you know how it gets all wet and in the water.
back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Someone from the 409 on Brett Yormark says, I think he wanted to own it since he had made those tech comments and he didn't want to look like he was hiding. Okay, maybe that's fair. Still, step to the side, man. Otherwise, you're going to end up saying Steve Garcesian.
Yeah, at the very least, just like wrap it up, dude. Such a long speech. Well, and he
did he think they were going to stop booing is my big question. They clearly were not. They had a common enemy, and it's a crowd of what, 70,000 plus? They were going to stay on him until he handed it over to Sarkisian.
I mean, he started off. It was a record-breaking crowd. I think it was like 80-something.
So
and,
there you go.
Well, you know, only like 50-something thousand of them were probably UT fans. It was pretty – not a completely uneven split. It was pretty even with Texas and Oklahoma State fans.
So let's shift from the Big 12 and talk about
Let's move to a real conference.
Well, we're talking about the college football playoff.
Yes.
Michigan's 1. They're 13-0. Washington's 2. 13-0. I think with Washington, clearly worse than Michigan based off of the resume. 3, Texas. 4, Alabama, who left over Florida State by winning the SEC championship. I'm going to start by saying this. I feel bad for Florida State's players and coaches. It is not their fault. They got shafted. There's no denying it. They did. It's not their fault that Jordan Travis got hurt. I guess you could argue that he didn't need to play in that game against what, like Northern Colorado or something
Northern Alabama.
Yeah. Some random directional school that was never going to beat Florida State at full strength.
They were 3-8. 3-8 in the FCS.
Okay. So if you want to nitpick that, you can nitpick that. I am a believer, though, that these guys should play all of the games in all sports, even if it is a little bit different at the college level than it is at the pro level. They got screwed over. That said, suck it, Florida State fans. You are some of the worst people in sports. And I go back to the mid-2010s. When you people were, one, defending every terrible thing that Jameis Winston did, but two, when your team made it to the college football playoff despite a hollow-ass undefeated record and then got mollywopped by Georgia, or excuse me, by Oregon. Do you remember that? To me, this is payback for my eyeballs having to have seen that. Because that Florida State team, they were winning games. They were the defending national champions. They should have made the college football playoff. But they made it that time around, and they got stomped. So you hate to see it for the fans. I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for the coaches. Suck at Florida State. And yeah, I'm biased. I'm a Gator fan. Whatever. We're terrible. We know it. But
you ruined their season.
Just like Dell, I got a lot of joy out of seeing them not make it. I got a lot of joy of that out of that.
You can argue that like Florida knocking out Tate Rodemaker, their backup quarterback, forcing him to play a third string quarterback who was unplayably bad. I feel like such a loser for watching that entire game, thinking that it mattered. That I needed like a result. It turns out I didn't need a result in that game because the team that won got left out of the playoff. I think there's an argument to be made that if like Tate Rodemaker is back there and plays like decent, they're probably in. But the fact their backup played like ass the entire game, their touchdown drive, their only touchdown drive came off of a drive where they only ran Wildcat.
No one wanted to see that offense play again. No one wants to see it. And look, it is unfair to those players. But that was the reality of the situation.
Those players got, I think it's, you can say those players got shafted. However, we as college football fans are getting a better college football playoff with Alabama in over them. Because you look at the four teams that are in, any four, like you could conceivably see any four of them winning, right?
I could. Yeah. I could not see Florida State doing that.
No.
Honestly, I would have put Georgia ahead of Florida State, too, if it was up to me. I would have put, even though Georgia, it's kind of the same deal where all season long, it's been rather impressive, but I probably would have gone so far as to put Florida State at 6.
Yeah, I think that's something where, since it's a 14 playoff, like they don't, like who's number 5 doesn't actually matter. I do think that next year, if a situation like this happens, which is doubtful because this is the first time this has happened in 10 years of the 14 playoff. But if something like this happened, I would assume that like Georgia and probably Ohio State are ahead of them.
Yeah, I would too. I would too.
I would just assume that.
Now let's call the college football playoff what it really is. It's a television event. This is not really the national title. This is a television event. Doesn't make it right. It should be about winning. It should. But it's not. Clearly it is not. Like this is all the proof that you need. And you can either accept that and still enjoy college football, or you can be so pissed off about it that you don't like college football anymore. I would go with the former. I know it's harder and harder every single year. I do think eventually we're going to have the Big Ten on Fox, ESPN on the SEC, and it's going to be basically all the Power Five conferences. But that's how it's going to roll. It's going to turn into essentially what you have with the NFL, where AFC gets CBS for the most part, NFC on Fox. That's where we are eventually heading, and it's going to make you feel like absolute crap if you didn't go to one of those awesome schools. And guess what? As someone who went to Syracuse, even though my school hired a guy from Georgia to be the next head coach.
Poached a Georgia position coach.
And poached Elijah Robinson from Texas A&M.
Were you laying the seeds when you said that Texas A&M should have just hired Elijah Robinson? Was that you doing some covert messaging to get him to Syracuse?
Well, I mean, listen. You know, Syracuse, New York.
College Station.
College Station. And by the way, Syracuse is a dying Rust Belt town. So, I mean, where it's snowing half the year. So,
College Station, I'll
say. Sort of goes to show where College Station stands.
I disagree. I'll say, as someone who's never stepped foot in Syracuse, I cannot imagine it's better than College Station. Just because if they're equal towns, the weather makes it so much worse.
There's no brown shirts marching around campus.
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess it's light brown. It's beige. None of that. None of that there. I'm not nervous for my life.
Yeah, because
you guys
don't have traditions.
Yeah, that's true.
The biggest
no one knows the fight song.
The biggest Syracuse tradition was letting Jim Boeheim coach for 10 years too long.
After he killed somebody.
Yeah, vehicular
manslaughter. And after he looked the other way while there was an assistant coach on his staff that was doing bad things.
Yeah, vehicular manslaughter is the Syracuse tradition.
Yeah, look. I really do feel bad for the Florida State players and coaches. I actually do. But I'm so glad that their fans have to eat this. It's hilarious to me. It's really funny.
Like, I think that's fair.
It's really funny.
I think that's a fair opinion and a fair emotion to feel. Because,
suck at FSU.
Yeah. Because you're rivals. But you're also, level-headed radio host. So you can say.
You should have studied a little harder. You could have gone to Florida.
Okay. There we go.
What? Or Miami. You could have.
They could have. They still would not have been in the playoff.
They didn't study hard enough.
They would have lost more games, but still not in the playoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go, guys. We'll see what happens. I'm with you in that I do think anyone can win this. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Big win for the Texans yesterday. They stay in the playoff race. But I am wondering if this is not going to last that long after a terrible development yesterday. Paul Gallant Show, you'll hear what that is next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Planet Unicorn, hey.
Give it up for feathers. Ooh, Cadillac and Tom Cruise.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Motion man Sutton. Get the snap off Wilson. Step and throw. Intercepted. Sutton, the intended receiver. And it's Stingley for the second time today.
That was a hell of a play. Stingley, two picks yesterday. Texans defense stepped up big. They held Denver to 0 of 11 on third down. They picked off Russell Wilson three times, two by Derek Stingley, one at the end by Jimmy Ward. Will Anderson had two sacks in the game. He deflected a pass that Derek Stingley also intercepted. He blocked a punt. Tackles for a loss. Quarterback hits. He had four on the game. Big bounce back performance for the pass rush, just considering what it was the week before. Trevor Lawrence had all day to throw. Jonathan Grenard had a sack in this game, too. It was a really good performance by the Houston Texans. And specifically, I thought that Nick Caserio, above everybody else, I mean, looks like a genius today. He does. The pick of Will Anderson seems to be figuring it out. Pick of Derek Stingley, he's only been back three games. He's got four picks. And I know interceptions aren't the end-all be-all when it comes to a defensive back, but I mean, takeaways are part of it, and Stingley clearly has an innate ability to take the ball away. Nico Collins had almost 200 yards receiving. That's a 2021 third-round draft pick. You know, we can keep talking about guys that they brought in. Jimmy Ward, he gets the game-winning interception. Go a little bit further. Let's take a look at some of the guys that the Houston Texans brought in this offseason that have done a really good job. Sheldon Rankins. He did a pretty damn good job in the middle of that defense over the course of this game.
Tank Dell.
Yeah. And that's the bummer.
Okay. Non-bummer, Devin Singletary.
Devin Singletary. Damian Pierce, at one point, seemed like he was going to be a great draft pick.
Played a little too much for my liking last night.
It wasn't a good game for him. And you can blame some of that on the offensive line reshuffling that the Texans had to do. I mean, Stroud did get sacked five times in the game, but what the hell were you doing, dude, on that one play where clearly C.J. Stroud wanted to throw the ball? And Pierce just took it from him. It was a bad moment, and it's on brand with why Singletary's been getting more work. I think Singletary was banged up for a little bit of time because he was gone for a while. We never got any update on what was going on. Listened to the radio broadcast, didn't hear anything that we weren't hearing up at the press box. But, yeah, there was a long stretch where it was just Pierce.
I thought that was because they also didn't mention it on the broadcast, on the CBS broadcast. So I thought it was just like a lot of like, you know, when you have a running back by committee, you kind of check in with who's the running back before the play, and you're like, oh, Pierce again? But maybe it makes more sense if it was an injury.
Right. So I don't know what it is, and maybe we'll see something on the injury report in the days to come. But speaking of injury, I don't know what the hell the Texans offense was doing, putting Tank Dell in the mix on a handoff up the middle to a running back at the goal line. Pierce scored a touchdown. That was great. Why is a guy who is smaller than me lead blocking for Damian Pierce? Or near that part of the field? And it's not to say that automatically would have happened if Tank Dell was over there, but there's definitely a higher percentage chance of something like that happening to a guy like Tank Dell if he's in that spot. And fine, maybe you don't want to second guess that, but like, let's just ask why he was there. I think it's a pretty easy and fair question to ask. No? Why was he there? What is he doing? For the life of me, I can't figure it out.
Yeah, it's a situation of like, every play has a risk of injury, but you still want your best players playing as many plays as possible because the reward of, they're great players. They do great stuff. Winner, that's the call, and it's second and one from the one, and you're running it up the middle. Like, why is Tank Dell there? Like,
great question.
What's the reward for that? Let that be a lead blocker of some sort. Andrew Beck has to be somewhere around here. Even one of the other receivers are better blockers than literally the smallest guy on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, where do we stop?
Have Matt Amendola out there.
Right. Like, that might be the one guy that you'd want Tank Dell in over. And it's not like Dell doesn't try to block or anything like that. That's not the point.
It's just not what...
Well, Dell does put in effort on that side of things, which, you know, for a guy his size, commendable. But, yeah, we're going pretty low on the list before people that we would throw into lead block. And honestly, Matt Amendola's jacked, so I think I might even do Amendola over Tank Dell. Have you seen Amendola? Amendola's got guns. That guy's jacked.
It was the first thing that you mentioned to me.
Yeah.
After the game. What was
He's a surprisingly jacked
game. The Jags game when he missed two kicks.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, credit to him for talking to the media and for being jacked.
He's jacked.
Cool.
Well, I mean, listen, we're gonna be uncomfortable talking about other guys' bods, but like for a kicker.
Oh wow, he's listed to have like 30 pounds on Tank Dell. Tank Dell's listed at 165.
He's a big guy. Like he's not very tall, but he's big.
They're the same height. They're 5'9".
Right. So 30 extra pounds of weight. Matt Amendola, lead blocker, or Tank Dell. And it sucks, too, because Dell seems remarkably selfless. And making it even worse, I really enjoy listening to CJ Stroud speak. I do think he is, and this sounds always condescending, but no offense, compared with Davis Mills last year, it's just night and day. You get really thoughtful, long answers from CJ Stroud, who clearly thinks before he speaks, and he'll give you interesting nuggets along the way. I hope that this is the CJ Stroud we get forever. I mean, it's a huge difference from someone like Tom Brady, who's was short and to the point, and saying all this the same stuff that you always hear. So seeing him visibly shaken up, just a couple of feet in front of me, standing at the podium, when asked about Tank Dell, it bums you out about the future of this Texans offense and about Dell's future as well.
I'm lost words, man. I honestly don't know what to say. Like, you see, like, your brother put in so much work and be so helpful. Like, that's one thing about Tank, he's very unselfish. And to see him go out, like, the game of football is tough, man. It's tough. We fight our tails off every day to make people happy. We put our lives on the body. I mean, our bodies on the line, time in, time again, man. And just to see that happen, it's cold. It's not easy. I got to be there for him. So more so than anything, like forget football. Like Tank is a person. Like I know it's gonna be tough for him to get out of that. And who knows, man? He might be back playing Super Bowl. So let's try to be positive about it. But it's tough, man. I'm hurt. Like I can't sugarcoat it. I can't come up here and lie and say like, oh, we'll be all right. Nah, it's not. You know. And I love him to death. I told him that. And 7-3 will be a great duo for the next couple years, man. Right when he gets back. Who knows, man? God works in mysterious ways. It might not be that bad of an injury. Who knows? I don't really know. So I love my brother to death, and I'm praying for him, and I'm here for him no matter what.
My big concern with this, in addition to hoping that Dell will be the same explosive player that he was when he comes back from this injury, my big concern is about the offense going forward. Because if you took a look at this game, the Texans' offense went off a cliff after Dell left this game. And honestly, without Nico Collins, there was no Texans' offense yesterday. It was big plays to Nico Collins. 52-yarder, 59-yarder. I mean, that's basically half of C.J. Stroud's passing yards yesterday. Collins had 190 receiving yards. Brevin Jordan had 60. Everybody else, very little work. And there were some drops. There was a lot of slop from the offense. But we saw this offense go through some struggles earlier this year, and it was during a period of time where Tank Dell was also hurt. So it makes me wonder going forward about this team's ability to score points without Tank Dell. It's going to put way more pressure on the defense, too. I mean, you're going to need Will Anderson to do what he did on Sunday some more. You're going to need Derek Stingley to make plays some more. And I do think that this defense yesterday played above its head. Like, they still need to add some more talent to the defensive side of things. But when you take a look at the rest of the offense, who after Nico Collins is C.J. Stroud going to be able to make things work with? We've seen it happen with Noah Brown before. Brevin Jordan had a couple of nice plays in this game yesterday. But is it going to be John Metchie? I'm skeptical about that. I don't know where they're going to find playmaking with only, what, 5 games left in the year. I'm trying to figure out where it comes from. Losing Dell is a massive blow, and it sucks for a team that is fighting for its playoff lives. It's not losing Kenny Pickett like the Steelers just did. It's not having a quarterback, so they should be still in pretty good shape, but this offense, I imagine, is going to fall back to earth quite a bit for the last couple of games of the year, especially when you consider they're going up against defenses like the Jets and the Browns.
Yeah, it is something where Nico Collins was awesome last game. Will Anderson, Derek Stingley were both awesome against the Broncos, but throughout the whole season, the most consistent weapon for C.J. Stroud, the most consistent guy other than C.J. Stroud that has helped this team win games is Tank Dell.
It's been Dell,
and
right.
they just lost him. And so
Collins has had his moments, but it's been inconsistent. Like he's had two good games in a row. He's had almost 300 yards receiving, but there was a long stretch where he was basically like a bit of an afterthought on this Texans offense. And I mean, now you're asking guys like Robert Woods and Noah Brown to do more than they're probably capable of at this point in
and
their
then
careers.
Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson are probably going to get more work too. So maybe one of those guys, you know, gets the opportunity and, you know, takes the ball and runs with it, so to speak. But you already know that Tank Dell is awesome. That's the part that sucks. You already had an awesome receiver, and he got his leg broken on a goal line play where he was lead blocking for Damian Pierce.
Couple of calls before we move into garbage time. Andy's in Cyprus. Andy, what's going on?
Hey, look, you know, there's a reason why you don't have 5'10", 160-pound running backs, because you don't want to run them against linemen and linebackers. There's no way that Slovic should have had that play called where Dell is the guy going after the safety. You've got Woods, Nico, and Brown, big dudes, all the way about 220 or plus. Those are the guys who should have been going after the safety, not your 165-pound wide receiver. That's a horrible... I'll bet you this, when he comes back next year, he's never going to be the lead block on that again.
Someone texted in, Andy, that, well, Bobby Slowick's going to be a head coach somewhere else next year, so this will never be a problem again. But every now and then, coaches have, let's be honest, those boner moments. Like, they just do something dumb.
And this happens with more quarterbacks than just Patrick Mahomes, but Mahomes is the most obvious one, where the Chiefs never run quarterback sneak because, what, in 2020, was it?
Right.
He got hurt. Maybe it was 21. He, like, broke a bone in his foot doing a quarterback sneak, and so now they just never run it. And I think if anyone's going to get that treatment going forward, it's Tank Dell. Not just because he's awesome and little, but because of this moment. They're just gonna be like, why are we risking this? Like, there's so little to gain here.
It's common sense, but it's something that you learn the hard way only when it happens the hard way. This isn't something that would have been learned had, say, Tank Dell been in the interior and he didn't get hurt. Like, you know, this wouldn't have been learned. We wouldn't have noticed it until something like this happened.
Maybe, you know, one of the real all 22 watchers would have been like, this was weird.
Right.
But, like, we wouldn't be talking about it on the show.
I do want to know, are we on... Because we go back and forth on this so much. I'm not talking about me. Like, I'm talking about the fan base. Like, one week it's Bobby Slowick's going to be head coach. Next week it's fire Bobby Slowick. Like, where are you guys at today?
Pulse of the Nation.
Right. I mean, God, you guys are very finicky with him.
Call or text 713-780-3776. Bobby Slowick, fired or next head coach of the Carolina Panthers?
We do hope that Tankwell is going to be good to go next year. Eric's in Clear Lake. He's got a thought. Eric, what's up?
Hey guys, I act like Tank Dell's Debo Samuel. We still have Dalton Schultz and Noah Brown. And what do y'all think about U of H's new hire? His daughter's hot. I'll hang up the list.
Well, I think we'd all agree on the last part of that.
Yeah, he nailed it.
Shout out to Lanny Fritz. She was a great reporter for Channel 2, and I believe she has left the game entirely. I think it's a good hire by the Cougs. I do. I think that's a guy who's won, not just one, but 2 years in a row at Tulane. That's a program that could be good, right? It's in a good spot. It's in New Orleans. They got some of that private money. So
it is also a school that has, like, never been good.
It's been a really long time. So, yeah, probably since, like, the 60s or 50s. And honestly, even then, I'm not even sure. So there's probably a ceiling as far as where he could go. I still think that Cougars job is a really good job. Yeah. And now that you have Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12, it sucks for them, but it should be easier by comparison. And if the conference is not that dissimilar from the conference he just left, the American Athletic, because, I mean, they're bringing in a bunch of teams from the American Athletic as it is.
They, like, took a job with them.
Here you go. So I actually like the hire a lot, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, it's great hire, program guy, Texas guy.
Yeah.
It's like a pretty no-brainer.
100%. As far as the first part about that, look, I don't think we should be putting Dalton Schultz up on a pedestal here. I think that the guys that are around C.J. Stroud have all been good, and I think Stroud has gotten a lot more out of them than other quarterbacks, say, like a Davis Mills would have. Shout out to Davis Mills with that nice throw that he had for a first down. Shout out to him. Everyone crushed him last year, deservedly, but when a guy comes in a weird spot like that where the refs force a player out of the game and the guy says he's fine, well, you got to go in, you got to do your job, did his job there. But the receivers that are around C.J. Stroud, not named Tank Dell, Nico Collins is having a great year, but I do think you wonder about the ability of this offense when it doesn't have someone that is that dynamic. Because Dell is very dynamic. And even Nico Collins. Nico Collins is a big guy. Collins has had a nice little wiggle in the end zone to get open for that touchdown. But Dell has a level of speed that cannot be taught. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We do some garbage time to wrap things up after this.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
So, today, Nick Caserio is a hero. But I do wonder about the Texans' offense going forward with Tank Dell injured. Also, congratulations to the Texas Longhorns advancing to the college football playoff. A high five to Ime Udoka, distracting us from the Rockets' 0-8 road record by getting into it with LeBron. I love him now. I love that moment. It was just subtle trash talk. LeBron's strange with what he complains about. And to piggyback that off of something that I guess has now been confirmed. Has it been confirmed that Russell Westbrook was talking about Westbrook? I thought we speculated on that last week. Like, what are the odds that someone just said Westbrook? And he said, stop talking about my family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's been confirmed.
I haven't seen it confirmed, but I
heard John and Lance talking about it, and it made me wonder, like, oh, wait, is there, like, actually a follow-up? Because for me, just reading that article, I was like, oh, this must have been Westbrook.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what it was.
Okay, so I'm cool going with that. They don't listen to us anyway. They think we're beneath them. So to go to that night, that was a great moment by Ime Udoka. I just really enjoyed it. And I feel bad for Florida State players and coaches. I do. I feel bad for them. But suck it, Florida State fans. I love that you got to eat this up. Oh, no, you didn't make it. Oh, dang. Oh, no. What are you going to do? There's always next year, right? No, I mean, Jordan Travis is going to be gone, but there's always next year. Always.
There is always. I mean, that is like one of the true facts about sports. Is that mm-hmm. like, there is always.
There's
you're
always
the,
tomorrow.
And you're, unless you're the Pac-12, there's always next year. Pac-12, unfortunately, all your teams left. Now you're the Mountain West, basically.
Rudolph's Biddy in the movie Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer sings the song Clarice about there's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow for dreams to come true. I would do it in a high-pitched voice, but my voice is gone.
Yeah, no, thank you for saving us that. There is actually someone Florida State can blame, not just themselves.
Let's go to garbage
not
time,
just,
then.
Not just Jordan Travis' injury. Yeah,
oh, there's somebody else they can blame? Oh, let's hear it. Let's hear I'm it.
It's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Hit me, baby.
We go to the political world. This former U.S. president, I'll let you guess who, This
Jimmy
US,
Carter?
Former U.S. president. Well, he's still mourning the loss of his wife, but let's see. Said Florida State was treated very badly by the, in quotations, committee. They become the first Power 5 team to be left out of the college football playoff. I think he means undefeated college football Power 5 team to be left out of the playoffs. Okay. Really bad lobbying effort. Let's blame the sanctimonious. Which former U.S. president do you think this is?
I mean, it's got to be Barack Obama.
No, he's a Republican. I'll give you another chance.
Huh. Well, George W. Bush.
No. He's still celebrating his Texas Rangers winning the World Series.
Is he a Texas Longhorn fan, too?
I'm sure there's a picture of him wearing a Longhorn hat. I'm sure there's a picture of him wearing an Aggie hat. This tweet was from @RealDonaldJTrump on Truth Social.
Huh. Now, here's the
treated very badly.
Of course,
really,
he said very
really
badly.
Bad lobbying effort. Let's blame the sanctimonious.
Let's be honest here. And listen, I respect a good political pander, right? Like, aren't there's Florida senators that are looking into this right now? Like, Florida State being left out of the college football playoff. But let's be honest. Someone is trying to get votes from the state of Florida. That's a pretty good way to do it.
It's a
good way to do it. You got robbed.
By the way.
Just like I got robbed that one time, you know, guys?
Yeah.
We're bros. We're buddies. We're Eskimo getting robbed brothers.
He is not the only Florida politician looking to garner sympathy in Florida doing this. He's by far not.
Where's DeSantis here?
Yeah, right?
You gotta double down.
Not Florida State not making the playoff does not reflect poorly on Ron DeSantis.
We should have gone down in front of it.
Him being silent?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing,
What are you doing? Say that talk about where the college football playoff committee is based, which I'm sure is New York or something like that.
I just
point at those New York liberals. Oh, is it in Dallas?
Yeah.
Well, I forget what I said. Hey, we made it. We made it to the end.
My voice is
just dying right now.
I'm declaring you should be on vocal rest for the rest of the day.
I am going to go on vocal rest the rest of the day.
Okay.
But I don't think
I could do another show.
Yeah, no, there will be no podcast tonight. I didn't do one last night either because I was like, I don't have anything left. So, for Sean Mapes and our texters, our twitchers, and our callers, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Connor and Beard are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
I want the ball! Give me the ball!